Children's Church is beginning. And we are going to turn in our Bibles to Psalm 128. Psalm 128. There is an outline in your bulletin, and you may follow along the message that way. Some blank spaces that I leave blank, so you have to listen and fill them in as we go. Hopefully keeps your interest and keeps you listening. Two sides today, usually one-sided, but it's two sides today. Doesn't mean it's going to be a longer message, so you can relax there, but not too much. Don't want you to fall asleep. The blessing of God upon our work is what we're going to look at today. And we're going to read Psalm 128, and it is a psalm of God's blessing upon life, right? Upon life in different forms, but including our work. This is what the Holy Spirit inspired to be written. Psalm 128, a song of ascents. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to Him. You will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. Your wife will be like a fruitful vine within your house. Your children will be like olive shoots around your table. Yes, this will be the blessing for the man who fears the Lord. May the Lord bless you from Zion. May you see the prosperity of Jerusalem all the days of your life. May you live to see your children's children. Peace be on Israel. Would you pray with me? Lord, may your peace be upon us. May your grace lift us up. May your Spirit teach us this morning, quickening our minds and our hearts. May you gain access to our wills that would make us willing to submit to you. Lord, may you work out the truth of these verses in our life each day that you might be glorified. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Joseph Sund in October 2017 reported about how a church got creative to minister to the needs of its community on the south side of Chicago. After purchasing an abandoned rundown pool hall in Chicago's south side, Living Hope Church began massive renovations, engaging in a range of help, including church members, volunteer construction workers, generous donations, and random passersby. Pastor Brad Beyer explained that neighborhood residents would often stop by the project looking for money or some kind of material assistance. There were also a string of break-ins there at the location, burglaries, during which expensive tools and lighting fixtures were stolen. In light of the neighborhood's 23% unemployment rate at that time, the church decided to reach out. They started hiring local people. The church hired 50 people off the street, giving them a paycheck and teaching them new skills. Pastor Beyer said, "Our primary way of trying to help without hurting those in need was to invite anyone who came looking for help to learn new skills or to put their existing experience to work on this old building. Along the way, we realized that completing a day's work together seemed to release a shared, God-instilled purpose and created a natural context for forming relationships." The church helped spearhead a new ministry called Hope Works, a community development ministry that has, at the time of the writing of this article, that had helped 74 people find jobs and gain satisfaction, a sense of purpose from their work. Though we tend to often view work as a curse, we must remember it was part of the Creator's original design for humanity. He created humankind, placed them in a garden, gave them a job to do. And all of this occurred before the fall. Work was a part of God's very good creation. It was an integral part. It fulfilled the purpose for which God had designed humankind. And this was a way that man and woman together could honor him by exercising dominion, the dominion he gave, through the stewardship of the land that he had given. Here we see in Psalm 128 that work is one of the arenas in which we may experience the blessing of God and happiness in this life. This psalm relates blessing from your home, or within your home, within your community, and then also in your work. Who among us needs God's blessing on our work? This Labor Day weekend, I'd like to talk about how you may be blessed in your work. And I want to provide 5 principles to follow that will then bless your work. So the first principle is that God's blessing comes to those who fear him. God's blessing comes to those who fear him. And we see this in Psalm 128, verses 1 and 2. Blessed are all who fear the Lord, who walk in obedience to him, right? So there's a description of the blessing upon whom the blessing comes. And then verse 2, the result, you will eat the fruit of your labor. Blessings and prosperity will be yours. The psalm says that the blessing of God comes to a particular kind of person. That the way of blessing is actually open to everyone, but they must meet a particular condition. The way of blessing, we read, is open to those who fear the Lord and walk in his ways, or walk in obedience to him. Now, the fear of the Lord, that expression, is found often in the Old Testament. It is the most basic description of one who is properly related to the one who created him. If you fear the Lord, it means you have oriented your life Godward. It means you look upon the Lord with holy awe, that you are attracted to this holy God, that he becomes the center of who you are. He becomes the center of what you think. He becomes the center of that to which you aspire. He is the starting point for every project, the strength you seek for every endeavor, the one you earnestly desire to please. This is what it means to fear the Lord. Carl Sagan, in his TV series Cosmos, expressed the exact opposite of this Godward orientation to life. He looked at the splendors of the starry nighttime heavens and declared, "The cosmos is all that is or ever will be." Now, that sort of worldview leaves the Lord entirely out of one's perspective. In contrast to that, the fear of the Lord is the orientation of all of life towards God. Most people live somewhere between Carl Sagan's view and what the Old Testament calls us to, the fear of the Lord. Psalm 128 calls us to fear the Lord, to give a radical commitment to the Lord, because this is the way of blessing. Now, the psalmist says that the way of blessing is given to those who fear the Lord, and then he further defines this at the second phrase there in verse 1, those who walk in obedience to him, or another translation, those who walk in his ways. The Godward orientation, this attitude, this submission to God's lordship over your life, this radical commitment to him, must issue then in godly living. The one who is committed to the Lord will obey the will of God in daily life. The two go hand in hand. You see, blessing comes with a proper attitude and actions. It comes with commitment and obedience. Those two things, commitment and obedience, the fear of the Lord and walking in his ways, or walking in obedience to him, these are the way into the abundant life that Jesus came to give us. We are called to abide in him, in Jesus. And from the perspective of the psalm here, God created us for work. In order to find fulfillment in life, you and I must do something productive. Even when we retire, we must find a way to engage in productive activity. This is how you express your purpose in being a steward over creation and exercising dominion by shaping it and bringing order to it. This is how God designed us. And so this is how he blesses us. He brings fruitfulness. He brings increase. He brings satisfaction and fulfillment to our lives, happiness to our lives, as we commit our ways to him and work for his glory. So God's blessing rests on those who fear him and walk in his ways. Second principle for blessing upon your work. We should work to please God and not men. We must work to please God and not men. So we read Colossians chapter 3 a little bit earlier in the service, and I'm going to refer to some verses from there for the next several points that I have. Psalm 128 gives us this overview, gives us this general look at the way to blessing, and it is in work. And Paul gives us some specific ideas in chapter 3 of Colossians that are in harmony with, and actually I think advance the idea found there in Psalm 128. So the second point that I'm making is that you are to work to please God and not men. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, "Whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for human masters." Interestingly, if you look at verse 22, he also tells them to fear God. Sound familiar, right? Psalm 128, verse 1, 2. Paul tells them to fear God. This is precisely the message, as I explained, of Psalm 128. When we are at work, we are working for the Lord, no matter where we work. This means that we will think of the Lord and what we are doing as we're at work. We will ask, how will the Lord like this done? When would he like me to do this? What effect will this have for the Lord's honor? By keeping this in mind, you'll be able to gain fulfillment in your work, even when you are not appreciated by your employer, or maybe you're even criticized by her or him. Instead of resenting your job, you may think, I am doing this for Jesus, therefore I will give it my best effort. Your work is to be done with cheerfulness, with a desire to be a blessing to those around you, your fellow employees, your supervisors, your employer. In general, what you are asked to do by a supervisor should be viewed as an appeal from the Lord. There are important exceptions to that, but this perspective will help you work without grumbling and complaining and for the glory of God. Now, you may feel that your circumstance makes it almost impossible to work with goodwill for your coworkers and bosses. I know that some work environments drain every ounce of enthusiasm from you very quickly. But remember to whom Paul was writing. Paul wrote this instruction to those who were considered the very least in their society. They were slaves. And he challenged them to serve with goodwill. They could do it, and so can you. Now here's the key: serve with goodwill as working for the Lord, not men. You see, that is the key. We work for God to please him and not men. Mother Teresa and her Sisters of Charity served among the poorest of the poor in Calcutta. This is how she described their work ethic. She said, "We are committed to feed Christ who is hungry, committed to clothe Christ who is naked, committed to take in Christ who has no home, and to do all this with a smile on our faces and bursting with joy." And of course, this was an allusion to Jesus' own words when he said, "If you do it unto the least of these, my brothers, you do it unto me." So this is the ethic that they brought to their work among the poor in Calcutta. When there is an aspect of your job that you have to do, but You don't want to do it. Imagine that Jesus is asking, would you do it for me? Of course you would. You might not want to do that specific thing for the ungrateful people you have to deal with day in and day out. But you would do it for Jesus, wouldn't you? That's what he's asking of you. Do your job for him. Not for the company, not for the boss, not for the paycheck, but as an offering unto the Lord. And I can guarantee you that he will be pleased because you are honoring him by your work. And that's how we're to do it. Not to please men, but to please God. A third principle for blessing upon your work is to work with sincerity of heart. Sincerity of heart. Colossians 3:22 says, slaves, obey your earthly masters in everything, and do it with sincerity of heart and reverence for the Lord. Now, let me just, an aside here. We've forgotten how to read history, historical things. We read a verse like that and we think, the Bible prescribes slavery. No, remember that the Bible was written to an oppressed people, and the person who was writing it was of the oppressed class himself. This is not an authority figure in society saying, this is what you must do. It is someone writing to people who are on the same level as he is, telling them how to live for God in the circumstances in which they find themselves. And many people criticize passages like this and say that the Bible prescribes slavery. It's not doing that here. In fact, you should read the book of Philemon if you want to see what the Bible has to say about slavery. Let's go back to my point, though. We are to work with sincerity of heart. Sincerity of heart. Do everything with sincerity and reverence for the Lord. In the ancient world, pottery was an essential trade. Sometimes dishonest potters would cover up cracks and flaws with wax. It wouldn't be evident until you'd heat it up, or just through the wear and tear of use you would notice it. Good pottery was sometimes stamped with the Latin words, and I don't know how to pronounce it. No, neither does anyone else, because Latin's a dead language, right? There's nobody alive that can tell you how to pronounce this. We have a standard that somebody has set, but it's just a guess. So I'm correct today when I say Sincera. Maybe it's Sincera. I don't know. Two words. Sincera. Meaning without wax. Without wax. This is where we get the word sincere. There's no wax in the product to hide the flaws, right? To do your work sincerely means to do your work to the best of your ability. You are not to hold back, but pour yourself into an honest day's work. I remember years ago when we built this sanctuary, 2003, we had the steps that lead down to our fellowship hall were wooden, and they were to be covered with vinyl. JP Flooring came in to put the tread on these steps that go down to the basement. And the worker complimented whomever made the stairs. He said he measured each step to cut the tread for it and found that every step measured the same. He remarked that he never sees that anymore. He says people don't care about their work any longer. It's just whatever. And I have to measure each one because none are the same. But he said someone did their best work when they made those steps for your church. You and I would never have noticed it if those steps were not uniform. But that craftsman gave honest service when he made those stairs. We honor him today because he did his work with a sincere heart. Let everyone who names the name of the Lord do at least the same, working with a sincere heart. This leads to our next principle. We are to work with integrity. Again, verse 22 of Colossians 3, obey your earthly masters in everything and do it not only when their eye is on you and to curry their favor, says Paul in this verse. Everyone tries to do their best when the boss is watching. But do you do your best when she's not around? This used to drive me crazy when I worked in the oil field in Northeast Ohio. Now, we worked all over. We traveled, I don't know, probably 5, 6, 7 different counties we would travel around and work. So we worked away from our field office. And most of the time, the boss wasn't there. Wherever they drilled a well, right, that's where we went. Most of the time, the boss wasn't there, and our crew chief, on the way to the place, he would stop because he hadn't had breakfast, so he'd buy some things at the store, buy a newspaper. And when we arrived at the job site, he would tell us what to do, and then he'd sit in the truck and read the paper, and the rest of us would work. Many people goofed off. But when they saw the boss's truck coming down the road, they would all scramble. I don't know what it's like where you work. Are the breaks and lunchtime adhered to or stretched out? Do people engage in excessive conversation or productive work? And what about you in that place? Do you represent Jesus well by your sincere work, even when the boss isn't around? We are to work with integrity. Fifth principle leading to God's blessing on our work is to work knowing that the Lord will reward you. The Lord will reward you. Is that enough for you? I guess would be the question. Verse 24 of Colossians 3, you know that you will receive an inheritance from the Lord as a reward. It is the Lord Christ you are serving. You're to work with the end in sight. I mean, work with the reward from God in view. Paul assures us that nothing good is done in vain. It matters not whether you are a farmer or a scientist, a construction worker, maintenance man, CEO, or mechanic, or any other type of work you may do. The Lord will see what you do for His glory and will reward you for it. Your boss may overlook you. No one in the world may think what you do is very important. But that is not ultimately what matters. The Lord knows you exist, and He is going to reward you on the same terms that He will reward even the most famous Christian worker. You see, there is no partiality with God, whether slave or free. Your good work is recorded, and you will be rewarded by God Himself. An employee at the Billy Graham headquarters said once that Billy gave a devotional for the office staff and said that he believed some of them would be ahead of him in line for the Lord's rewards. Well, they chuckled with skepticism. After all, he was this great worldwide evangelist. But he came back serious and said that he really meant it because the Lord rewards faithfulness above fruitfulness, which puts us all on the same footing. Whether famous for our effectiveness or unknown in our faithfulness, the Lord will reward you. We often judge people on a different scale than God judges. Remember an old farmer in Gravel Switch. Mr. Roy was his name. He was pretty feeble, not very educated. He was our Sunday school superintendent. And each Sunday morning, before the Sunday school lesson was taught, and the teacher came to teach it, Mr. Roy would stand up front and read scripture. He mispronounced a lot of words. Everybody wondered if he might fall asleep before he finished reading. Seriously, you would wonder that? He was elderly. He was the kind of guy that today would get replaced in a heartbeat as Sunday school superintendent. We'd find someone younger, someone more enthusiastic, someone with more education, someone who is more effective. But we'd be hard-pressed to find someone who did a better job of fearing the Lord, who did a better job of walking in His ways, someone who had a more sincere heart or had more integrity than Mr. Roy. He sought the glory of God in the way he lived his life. I'm sure Mr. Roy would be replaced in a hurry in a lot of places. But I have a feeling that when God hands out the rewards, I might get a glimpse of the back of Mr. Roy's head far up in the line. This is how you honor the Lord with your work. God's blessing comes to those who fear Him and who are obedient to His ways. God's blessing comes to those who work to please God and not men. God's blessing comes to those who work with sincerity of heart and those who work with integrity. God's blessing is given to those who work knowing that the Lord will reward them. Psalm 128 shows us the path to happiness, shows us a path to fruitfulness, shows us a path to satisfaction in life, shows us a way to glorify God daily by the things we do. Commit your life and your ways to the Lord, including your work, and He will bless you with that inner strength of soul that will enable you to enjoy the best things in life, the things that come from His hand as His gifts to you. Let's pray together.